Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news. This match day, Chelsea tonight at 8 p.m. on a Saturday night. That's Saturday night entertainment. We'll talk about that in a moment. But latest news this morning, Cole Palmer has come out and snubbed Manchester United publicly. Nagelsmann may be snubbing Manchester United as he has his eyes on another club. Are Manchester United stuck with Michael Carrick? We've also had some interesting comments coming in from Carrick overnight about his involvement in the summer transfer window, a return for Marcus Rashford as well. So quite a few bits to get our teeth in today. And I suppose, look, the question is, are Manchester United inevitably stuck with Michael Carrick? We won't. But imagine if we lost our next three games. That'd be four losses in a row. That'd be five losses out of eight, two draws and a win. I mean, this is the way my brain thinks. Like, you can't live on results that he got being a new manager bounce. You've got to live in the now. And what if we go and get a load of bad results and then we're stuck with Carrick? Like, I don't blame Carrick, by the way. I do not blame Carrick. What a dream opportunity. Look at what Frank Lampard's done with Coventry, and I thought that would go to shit. So, you know, maybe Carrick could do really, really well. But my point is, the club have not prepared for this. So even if you do want Carrick or you don't want Carrick, in a way, we need to move the conversation away from him and say, well, he doesn't make the choice. We don't make the choice. Who makes the choice? Well, the board. And have they prepared for this? No, they've had 3 months since they sacked Amrim and they've done nothing. And now they're going to be stuck with Carrick. And let's not forget, Tuchel signed a new contract. Enrique's about to sign a new contract. They won't go for Emery or Simeone because they're in a job. Nagelsmann's available and he could be heading elsewhere, which we'll talk about in a moment. Ancelotti's signing a new contract. There's so many people we could have gone for and we're stuck with Carrick. And I think that's, you know, that's on the club, really. But look, I want to get into, we can come back to that in a moment because there were some interesting comments from Carrick overnight. How are you feeling about the match tonight? I mean, look, I'm looking forward to it. I don't normally like a Saturday night, 8 o'clock game, but this is a big game. This is Stamford Bridge. It's Chelsea. I mean, traditionally for us older fans and maybe younger fans as well, Chelsea at Stamford Bridge always has its own nuance. Obviously, it's not Anfield. It's not the Etihad. It's not the Emirates/Highbury. But Chelsea Stamford Bridge has always had something about it as a Man United fan because it's always been a difficult place to go. And the enormity of this game, with us being 7 points clear of them, is that this is just, I don't want United to go there tonight and go, wow, it's just a game of football. It's not just a game of football. This game basically gets us Champions League football. And I've not heard anybody talk about it much other than us. This game gets us Champions League football. Now, we can either be Arsenal and bottle it, or we can grab it and go, right, that's in the bag for the rest of the season. So if we don't lose tonight and we keep that gap 7 points to sixth, with five games to go, you've almost got it. If you win and you turn it into 10 points, you've done it. So I don't want to see a weak and feeble performance tonight. I mean, this has to be a cup final. This, you know, Chelsea is struggling. They're under pressure. They need to win. We've got to be up for this because this could be the game we look back on and go, that's where we got Champions League football. Or this could be the game where we go, that's where we blew it. So, look, big, big game for United tonight. Let's get into the news, though, because, look, I suppose, first of all, let's just deal with this story. It has been floating around a little bit like a turd for the last couple of months. We've covered it a couple of times. You've had credible journalists talking about it, saying it's difficult, but it could happen. You've had rumours that he wants to come back to Manchester. Bruno Fernandes could be leaving Man United in the summer, potentially. So Cole Palmer to Manchester United has always been a story that most of us don't believe will happen. but there's been a little bit of a glimmer of hope. Well, this is what Cole Palmer has said ahead of the game, and I think we can slam the door shut on any Cole Palmer to Manchester United signing, because now we've heard from the player himself. He says, "I've got no plans to move to any other club, and when I see it, I just laugh. Obviously, Manchester is my home, all my family are there, but I don't miss it. Maybe I'll miss it if I don't go for 3 months or something, but then when I get home, I think there's nothing for me here anyway." So that is a complete and utter snub, not only of Manchester United, but Manchester City and any other club that's in Manchester, because he misses his family, but when he goes there, he doesn't miss Manchester. So Cole Palmer, Man United, I think we can well and truly park that in any way, shape or form. And obviously, if Bruno left, Cole Palmer would be a dream signing, but it would be a very difficult deal to do, and he's clearly slamming the door firmly shut on that, which is probably why we're seeing this confusing Morgan Rogers story, because maybe if Bruno was to leave, maybe that's where Carrick and Wilcox want to go towards Morgan Rogers. So maybe that explains why in the last 7 days there's been so many stories about Morgan Rogers, because if United do need to go for a 10 because Bruno decides to go, and you probably would, then maybe you go for Morgan Rogers, who you can mix and match with Cunha in relation to one can play on the left, one can play number 10. So maybe that's what that's all about. But look, you know what? It would be difficult for Cole Palmer to come to Manchester United now, having slammed the door on it and said he doesn't, you know, miss Manchester. But look, in some ways, I actually appreciate the honesty, because there's so much that needs to get done this summer transfer window. I don't want to be wasting times on maybes and, you know, fantasy. We've got so much that needs to get done, and knowing that Cole Palmer's off the table, at least we can move on. Exactly. Now, the big story for me this morning is Nagelsmann. So the situation with Nagelsmann is that Liverpool are looking at him, but may well be keeping Slot. So maybe that helps. He does and is interested in the Manchester United job, but Real Madrid is also an option. Now, Manchester United or Real Madrid, I mean, there's no indication that Real Madrid is his dream destination. It's just that Liverpool, Real Madrid and Manchester United are all options for Nagelsmann this summer, who is looking and open to leaving the German national team after the World Cup. Man United against Real Madrid, I mean, which way do you think that goes? But more importantly, and this is where United, I said this at the start of the week and it's already too late, snooze and you bloody well lose. And this is United, because we are snoozing. We've had 3 months to be working on this, and they sit there going, well, it might be Carrick. And this has always been the problem. The board are rubbish. They're so bad. You've had 3 months. Real Madrid have been trying out Arbeloa for the last 3 months. You know, there are other clubs that haven't been looking at managers, and we could have done. And we've actually sat there and gone, okay, well, let's just hope Carrick does well. So the reality is that Real Madrid have basically let it out that Arbeloa is gone. You know, they're not going to give him the job in the summer. So they're now actively looking for their manager. So whoever they're going for, they're doing it, and we haven't done anything. We could have been interviewing Nagelsmann and whoever we want. I mean, look, they might go for Emery, to be fair. They might take Emery out of Villa. Who knows? But whoever Real Madrid are going for, we're not going to get, because they're doing it now. They're only doing it now while we're sat on our arse going, let's see what happens. Like, that's what the March international break should have been used for. Transfers and the manager interviews. And we just missed the boat again because we're so bloody slow. So look, I think that if Real Madrid decide they want Nagelsmann, those talks will be ongoing now. It'll be announced by the end of the month. And I'm telling you, if Nagelsmann goes to Real Madrid, what the hell are we doing? Like, there's nobody else. Like, that. I mean, I don't want Carrick as the manager. I've said that many times. But there's literally nobody else. We've blown it. We've gone from, I remember in mid-January listing 15 possible managers. 15 possible managers. I think over the course of time, for various reasons, they're not going to leave their club. They're clearly not the right people. They've signed new contracts. They're going to other clubs. I think we're down to, I mean, look, there may be something left field. But if Nagelsmann goes Real Madrid, I don't know what we're doing. I really don't, because it feels like we've just missed the boat completely. And more importantly, as I said,
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Clubs are just more efficient than us. What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Why are we waiting to speak to managers till the end of April? I'll tell you why we're waiting. Because we don't want to. We just want it to work out with what we've got. Because it's cheap puppeteering. And that's what Wilcox wants. He wants puppets underneath him who basically kiss his arse and don't challenge him. And yet he is the most challengeable director of football in the Premier League. If there's one director of football that needs challenging from 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, it's him. And I'd be on the WhatsApps as well. He needs absolutely challenging, and he's creating a team underneath him that all just, you know, yap up whatever it is he shits out. So I am very frustrated by this. I just hope we can go and win tonight and just, you know, the fantasy of whatever it is they're cooking up can come true, because I'm getting more. I think we're probably days away from Nagelsmann signs new contract with Germany or is going to be the next Real Madrid manager. It just feels like that's where we're heading. And then ultimately, I think you're stuck with Carrick. And the hilarious thing about him is I was reading something yesterday about his time at Middlesbrough. And effectively, at Middlesbrough, he started off quite well. They backed him in the transfer market and it fell off a fucking cliff and he got sacked. So, you know, it's almost like, at a championship club, it started off really well. They backed him and then it went really, really bad. And look, I saw this on X today. And, you know, if you look at some of the stuff he's brought in, shorter training sessions, but they're more intense. Reporting on match day is 1 hour before kickoff instead of four, and more freedom for players on the pitch during training. I mean, how's that going as well? We're now picking up more injuries. I heard somebody say we're not picking up more injuries. Two of them are suspensions. Yeah, since Carrick's been here, off the top of my head, Dorgu, Mason Mount, probably about 10 times. That's not his fault. Martinez, Yoro, Mainu. That's just off the top of my head. Playing one game a week. So we are picking up a lot of injuries. We're definitely picking up a lot of injuries. And, you know, it's right to highlight that. Instead of being at the game 4 hours before, they're there an hour before. They're getting more freedom on the pitch and less intense training. I mean, I just don't know. I don't know what's good about this, really. But look, that falls completely on the board. And the question has to be, on the 18th of April, considering the last international break was a month ago, where we could have been doing stuff on transfers and manager, but on the 18th of April, we're still sat there with our finger up our arse doing nothing. The board. And that's incredible. I find it absolutely incredible. I mean, what's Sir Jim Ratcliffe thinking? What is he actually thinking? You know, no taking the piss. Like, what is Sir Jim Ratcliffe thinking? Like, what is his thought process as the guy that literally made a massive deal about he's in charge of the football side? I mean, it looked like a masterstroke, didn't it? I don't own the football club. The Glazers own the football club. But ignore that, because I'm in charge of the football side. I've done a deal for 25% where I'm in charge of the football side. And you think, well, you know what? It's a masterstroke, because the Glazers own the football club. But if he does well on the football side of things, he sort of gets all the glory because he's in charge of the football side. And here we are 2 years later, and it's a shit show, to be honest. The opportunity to be in charge of the football side and make easy changes, because let's be clear, the Glazers weren't very good on the football side. And you look at it and you go, mate, how are you worse than the Glazers? How are you actually worse than the Glazers at running the football side of things? It's embarrassing. He must wait. If he gives a shit about Man United, he must be waking up every morning fuming. But I don't get that thought at all. I don't get that thought process at all. I don't think he understands football. I don't think he understands football people. I don't think he understands how football works. And I think he's got people around him that he likes. But people you like ain't necessarily good at their job. Hi, Mark. Congratulations. Oh, just had a fair point from Pink Blue Red. He says, you're third. Chill. Yeah, mate. you're not very intelligent, because most Man United fans know that third in this league isn't actually progress, and what we're looking for is progress. So if we're third place, we're playing really good football with a vision and performance and a good board, and we're heading into next season with positivity, that's very different to third place on goal difference with everybody around you shit, your team getting worse by the week, your manager and coaches looking like they're not up for it, and your board looking absolutely clueless. Third looks like a false position, especially in relation to next season. As I've said to you many times, finishing third is better than fifth, but ultimately the goal is Champions League football and what we do in the summer. I am not convinced by third in a shit league. I'm not. Third, fourth, fifth, it makes no difference to me. I need to see progress. I need to see a vision. I need to see competence. I need to see a plan. I don't see any of that. I see third. So what? Villa are in the Europa League playing on a Thursday night and Sunday with a small squad, and they've got the same points as us. Liverpool are literally trying to sack their manager and having a shit season, and they're 3 points behind us. Chelsea are absolutely shite and could be 4 points behind us tonight. So third in the league. Ooh. Anyway, let me get into some of your comments because we've got a couple of other bits to talk about. Good comment, though. Good comment. Tom Best, thanks for your super chat. He says, I'm not surprised every manager knows about the board and how many managers that they have fired, and players thinking of coming to Manchester United. Take one look at our owners and say no thanks. Thank you very much, Tom, for your super chat. Rajav says, we seem to be in the same situation as City when they faced us at Old Trafford with regards to our defensive lineup. Lack of training has caused this, says Rajav. Completely bonkers idea, but we could bring back Ten Hag, says Keel. You know what? I've never even thought of that, Keel, but Ten Hag actually wasn't bad. I think when we sacked Ten Hag, we were 4 points off fourth. He'd won two trophies in 2 years, but we shouldn't be bringing Ten Hag back, but he's definitely better than what we've got. Congratulations, says Simon. I'd take a draw against Chelsea right now. Mate, I don't want to wish for draws, but a draw tonight would be not a bad result at all. Keeping that 7-point gap on sixth would not be a bad result at all, especially with Brentford and Liverpool to come. You don't want that gap going down to 4 points. I think people will be panicking at 10 o'clock tonight if we lose. Hi, Mark. Do your Man United insiders or Ben know why Deschamps is not part of the consideration? Madrid are looking at him. Good footy, international, European, ego management and built Monaco squad experience. Oh, I don't want Deschamps. He's boring. I don't want Deschamps. I trust Cantona on that. What did he call him? A water carrier. Morning, Mark. What's your thoughts about Tanaka from Leeds being on the shortlist for Man United to replace Casemiro? Would you take him? I saw that. I don't believe it, because Tanaka plays well against Man United and he's on the shortlist for Man United. I don't believe it. He is a good player, but I don't believe that Man United are looking at him at all. I think it's just Man United need a midfielder. Let's link Man United to a midfielder. Also, he's 27 and he'll be 28 in September. So he's outside of the parameter of the age anyway. So we won't be going near him. Red Devil News. Morning, Mark and United stand. Hope you're all well. Do you think if we get Champions League football this season, would you say Carrick will be appointed 100%? Well, that's what Andy Mitten said. I disagree with it. I think what I said a few weeks ago on That's Football was that in the race for third, fourth and fifth, it's almost the race of who's the least shit. Normally, it's about who's the best. You know, everybody starts winning every week. I mean, look at Chelsea's results, Liverpool's results, Man United results, Villa's results. Every time we play, it's almost like who is going to get the win? Can we beat Chelsea? Can Chelsea beat us? Can Villa beat Sunderland at home tomorrow, having played on Thursday night? Can Liverpool get something at Everton? It's not a race on quality. It's a race on who's the least shit. So I don't think Manchester United should be appointing a manager just because they get Champions League football in the context of the race for Champions League football. We're not having to win every week, are we? We're not having to play brilliant football every week. What we're having to do is just get over the line. Like, we need 2 wins from our last 6 games and we'll get Champions League football, because everybody else just isn't going to get that points tally of 61 points. They're just not. They are going to drop loads of points. So I don't think getting Champions League football is enough to give somebody a job, based on the evidence that we've seen so far. Look, if he beats Chelsea 4-0 tonight, and then he beats Brentford 4-0, and then he beats Liverpool 4-0, and we play brilliant football, that changes the story. You know, you've got to be movable on your opinions, but you've also got to assess each game in the context of how we play, what the result is, and also take into account, you know, the last few games as well. Absolutely. Let's have a look at what Michael Carrick has said overnight, by the way. I mean, this is a bit weird for a Saturday morning because we don't normally play on a Saturday, but the second part of his press conference came out last night, late last night. I don't know why United do this, by the way, this embargoed. So basically, for the last however many years, United do an interview with their with the manager. Half of it gets kept behind an embargo till 10:30 the night before a game. I mean, I just don't know why they do it. I really don't know why we do it. It just needs to get, they need to get rid of it completely. But look, these are some of the things that Michael Carrick had to say. In relation to Carrick being asked about a possible return for Rashford, I just think there's decisions to be made in time and Marcus is in that situation. But at this point in time, nothing's been decided and it will be because it has to be at a certain point. But at this stage, there's nothing to say. Look, you could read that multiple ways. That could be Carrick just his normal answer. Bland, giving nothing away, you know, boring, whatever you want to call it. Or it could be he wants to bring him back, which we've heard before. I mean, if we give Michael Carrick a 3-year contract and we bring Marcus Rashford back, I think it's everything we've done in the last 18 months out the window. Like, whatever you think about Ineos, Amorim, whatever, I do think that we started to do something that was 10 years too late. We did start to remove... We were ruthless. We were absolutely ruthless. And... you know, I'm trying to get the words out here. So, like, look, if you look under Amorim, you bring in a new manager with a really different style of play and you sell a project over the next few years. And in the early days of that project, you get ruthless removing people like Garnacho and Rashford and Onana and Sancho. You know, you actually start removing players that we never normally would. And, you know, 5 years ago, Garnacho, Rashford and Onana would still be playing for Man United. You know that. That's a fact. So, and that's a really good thing to sort of hang on to for a moment. Onana would still be in goal. Rashford would still be on the wing and Garnacho would still be here. Over the last few years, there's no way we would have been that ruthless. Absolutely not. So last summer, we get ruthless. We move these players on, some for money, some for loans, and we start trying to build something, yeah? Here we are looking to give a guy a full-time job who was the assistant coach of a manager we sacked 5 years ago, Ollie. Carrick was Ollie's right-hand man for 3 years. We sacked that regime, and now we're going to bring him back as the manager. And also, we're going to bring Rashford back as well. I mean, I don't need to comment. There is no need to comment. So you're telling me we might give a guy who was assistant coach of Ollie for 3 years, we might give him a job for 3 years as the manager and bring Rashford back, who we got rid of ruthlessly last summer. And that's progress. And that's the vision. I don't need to say anything. I'll just leave it out. I'll just leave it at that. We're gonna give Ollie's assistant a 3-year job. And we're going to bring Rashford back. And this club's not fucked. I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, let's move on. Also, Carrick was asked about transfers and his involvement in the summer transfer window. He says there's stage... And I always find it hard with Carrick because he doesn't speak very clearly. He sort of goes back and forth. So just bear with me. This is Carrick's involvement on the summer transfer plans. He says, there's stages to go through in terms of the summer. There are decisions to be made. Of course there is. But then it's also a timing thing. Obviously, my situation's one thing. So it's just working through that. There are certainly conversations to be going on because it's natural. But in terms of an official kind of this is what's going to happen exactly, that's not something that I've committed to recruitment wise. But we've certainly had conversations and that's just natural. But I'm not really making a big thing of it, to be honest. I think that'll happen in time anyway. So I don't really know what he's saying there. It's three paragraphs and I don't really know what he's saying. Is he involved in transfer plans? It sounds like there will be conversations, but it's a timing thing dependent on what happens with me. But it's natural they will happen and I'm committed to. We've had conversations. It's not a big thing, and I think we will have conversations in time. Yeah, I'm still, I'm blown away by that answer. I don't actually know what that means. I don't actually know what that means. I mean, ultimately, is he having conversations about transfers, or are they waiting until he gets the job? I mean, it's such a messed up situation. It goes back to what we were talking about Nagelsmann a few minutes ago. It's the middle of April. It's the middle of April, and by the week, more and more teams are going to know they're in the Champions League. And as soon as they do, they're going to be picking up the phone and making offers. We have had 3 months to get ahead of everybody else, and we've blown it. I'd say we've officially blown it this morning, like, because we've got no manager talks going on, and we've got no advancements on any transfers, and we could have been ahead of everybody. We literally could have been ahead of everybody. And you know what? If they're giving it to Carrick, and they know they're giving it to Carrick, you're ahead of everybody anyway, because that's the conversation, is it? You know you're going to keep Carrick, so you should be talking to players. So it's like, we all know they're probably going to keep Carrick because they've messed up. But then it sounds like Carrick doesn't know he's staying. So we haven't spoken. If you get stressed, you're stupid, because this is Man United for the last 13 years. We've just blown a massive opportunity to get ahead of everybody else by sitting on our arse going, well, what if we don't get Champions League football? This time last year, by the way, Cunha was very advanced. If you go back a year ago, Cunha was very advanced, and Romano had already announced Cunha. He'd already said Cunha to Man United. It didn't get officially done till the end of May, but some people thought Cunha was going to get announced in April. So Cunha was pretty much done. Liam Delap, we'd announced that 10 days ago, that this time last year, that was the striker that we wanted. So, as I said, when we appointed Ten Hag, he'd been interviewed with Pochettino and given the job by now. So comparable to other years where we've needed a manager and signings, we're way behind. We're way behind when we interviewed Pochettino and Ten Hag and gave it to Ten Hag. That had been done by now. And we're way behind signings that we were doing last summer. We're just way behind already. And look, I know it's a well-trodden path. But this is United's most significant transfer in a long, long time. This summer, in a long, long time. Like, I don't think there's a United fan out there that's fooled by qualifying for the Champions League and thinking we're back. I think we all know, especially in light of what's happened in the last 24 hours with Yoro, we all know this squad cannot deal with two games a week. Yoro's had a lot of injuries for a 20-year-old, by the way. Mainu picks up injuries for a 20-year-old. Luke Shaw's not picking up injuries, but he's 30, two games a week next year. Delitt's not even back. Martinez, Maguire's 33. We haven't replaced the midfield yet. What's happening with Bruno? Cunha and Mbeumo are playing out of position. Ahmad's struggling for form. Dalot and Mazraoui, will leave it there. This squad is so scary going into next season, playing two games a week. This summer around the manager and signings is absolutely huge. And it doesn't feel like they've prepped for it at all. And look, you'll get the people going, you don't know what's going to happen. I would concede that we don't know what's going to happen, but we do have a lot of evidence over the last few years where we go into the January transfer market and we say, I bet we won't do anything, even though we need to. And people go, well, you don't know that. And then it hits January the 31st and we don't do anything. We go into a summer transfer window and go, it doesn't look like we're prepared for this at all. Well, you don't know that. And then we come out of the summer transfer window not prepared at all. Like, it's not difficult to predict with United. And also, they do leak like a sieve. So if we were in advanced talks with Adam Wharton and he's going to sign in June, we'd probably know by now. We probably would. So I just think the lack of noise is... And this is why Sir Jim Ratcliffe should have stuck to what he said at the start and recruited best in class. You appoint a guy from Man City who's never been a CEO, and you give him the CEO job, and then you get this last 2 years. That's not best in class. That's a punt. You go and get a guy who's had 1 year as director of football at Southampton and they get relegated, and that's not best in class either. So we're paying the price of taking a punt on a CEO, a director of football, and an ownership that clearly aren't best in class.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So Jim Radcliffe and Ineos are clearly not best in class. His CEO is clearly not best in class. And his director of football is clearly not in best in class. And that is why we are sat here in the middle of April going, what is it we're doing? And I think all we're doing, and it's been said by you many times, we're on our hands and knees praying that Carrick works a miracle from this point. Because if Carrick works a miracle, but even then it doesn't solve the problem, does it? If Carrick wins a load of games playing good football and they go, give him the job, he's then got to put up with the board in the summer and what they're going to deliver for him. And he'd still be exposed next season. Even if Carrick's good at the job, which is obviously up for debate, even if Carrick's good at the job, will he survive next season with this squad and what the club are going to deliver this summer? And I think that's a very, very fair point. John United, thanks for your super chat. He says, Carrick feels like an apprentice manager not ready for the job. He's only in this position because it's the easy option and that's a recipe for failure, says John. It's interesting. I was talking to somebody last night, actually, and they were on about Roy Keane and why he doesn't like Michael Carrick. And I said, you know what? I've just finished watching that Saipan film. You can watch it free on Amazon Prime. It's about Roy Keane when he stormed out of the Ireland World Cup squad just before the Japan World Cup. And look, obviously, it's a film, but it gives you an insight into Roy Keane and his determination to win and his standards. Well worth a watch. But I was doing, I got me like on the internet, sort of, what was the real story, this, that, and the other. And then I came across this article about why Keane doesn't like Carrick. And obviously, we don't know whether Keane likes Carrick or Carrick likes Keane. But what it goes back to is that Man United lost a game against Olympiacos in the Champions League in 2014. And they lost 2-0 in the first leg. And Carrick got interviewed after. And it was a really bland interview. It was really, you've still got the second leg, you know. Anyway, goes back to pitch side and Roy Keane's there with Adrian Giles, whoever had the coverage of it. And he basically said, that's United's problem. Like, you've got a guy coming out who's just showing no passion, just like the team. Basically indicating that there's just a lack of passion, etc. And I think after that, I think Carrick's wife tweeted calling Keane the C word and deleted it really quickly. So that's the origin of it. I'm not saying Keane's right. I'm not saying Carrick's right. I think Carrick's kept very respectful about it, actually. But this is the problem. You watch that interview of Carrick 2014 as a player. You watch Carrick do interviews when he was a pundit and you watch him as a Man United manager now, and there's a running theme that he is just very bland. Doesn't mean he's bland behind the scenes, but he is quite bland. And I think that he needs to mix that up big time. He needs to show some passion in interviews. He needs to show some passion on the touchline. If he's going to get this job, it's Man United. Look at Sir Alex Ferguson. Look at Jose Mourinho. You've got to show a little bit of something. And he's got a massive opportunity tonight. But I don't know the guy, but I know people who know him. And apparently he's a top guy and, you know, he loves his football and he was a brilliant player. But as a manager, I just think it's the jury's out at the moment. The jury is out. John says he's like an apprentice manager. I've not read that one, haven't I? AB Design says, I know it has nothing to do with the discussion, but my dog died this morning and I'm devastated, says AB Design, hit by a car. That's very sad news. Thoughts for you and the family. The loss of a pet is always a sad thing. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of love in the chat, mate. So, yeah, thoughts are with you on that one. Very, very sad news. Tech Empire says, minority opinion, but willing to get thrashed today and then just somehow get Champions League just so the board understand that Nagelsmann is the guy. You know what?
I am very excited about the game tonight. If we avoid defeat, I think we've basically got Champions League football. If we lose, the shit's going to hit the fan. And we don't play after Chelsea until next weekend. So it'll be a long week of self-assessment for the club. And I agree with you. If we don't win tonight or we don't get a result tonight, then I think Carrick's on very thin ice anyway. But more importantly, as I say, forget Carrick. The board are on thin ice. They've charged Man United fans a lot of money this season. They've increased prices to cover their losses because they didn't get into Europe. They've sacked a manager halfway through the season that they told us was here for the long term. They spent no money in January. They put an interim in who is struggling. If we fuck this up tonight, I want the pressure on the board. I want the pressure on Wilcox, because that January transfer window wasn't used. We sacked a manager who wanted it to be used, and the interim is running out of fuel. So it'd be very interesting if we lose tonight. I mean, if we win, and let's hope that we do, we're in a great position. I still think we shouldn't have sacked Amrim. Look how we played against City and Arsenal. That was Amrim's intensity with Carrick's feel-good tactics, says Simon. Emil says Carrick's new name is the Riddler. Rajaf says, was it ruthless getting rid of those players in the summer anyway? The players wanted to leave. Well, Onana didn't want to leave. Hi, Mark. Carrick and the Champions League or Nagelsmann and Europa? Wow, what a question. What a question, Evan. What a question. Oh, my God. I've got to run this as a poll. I have to run this as a poll. It's almost like short-term gain and a risk, or short-term slight pain and the manager you want, in my feeling. So look, my feeling is next season's going to be very, very difficult. My worry next season is we could be Newcastle, where we can't deal with two Europe and the weekend, and we end up mid-table and we're struggling. And if it's Carrick, we've got to replace him. So that's my fear about next season, is that in the Champions League, it could be very hard if we pick the wrong manager. If you go for Nagelsmann and you're in the Europa League, in some ways, the expectations is a little bit lower anyway, because we're not in the Champions League. You still got Thursday night football where you can win it and get in the Champions League that way. I mean, there's a little bit more patience with that, but I hate Thursday night football. God, what a question. So Carrick and the Champions League or Nagelsmann and Europa? I mean, I want Nagelsmann and Champions League. I think if Carrick gets Champions League, he still shouldn't get the job. So I want Nagelsmann and the Champions League. But out of that situation, my heart says take Champions League football because I want to be in it. But my head says Nagelsmann's the better coach. So heart says take the Champions League and see what happens. Head says take Europa League with Nagelsmann and build something. Do you go with your head or do you go with your heart? A lot of people are going with Nagelsmann in the Europa. Look, as long as we've got Europe, as long as we've got European football next season, financially it won't be too bad. It'll be slightly better being in the Champions League, but it won't be too bad. And the pressure, we'll get Champions League football. We will get Champions League football. I've said it for weeks. We will get Champions League football. No one deserves any credit for getting rid of Onana. If he kept him, we truly have lost it. Carrick's too scared to sub his mates off. I'd take Europa, says Pure Turnips. There we go. Rory says, imagine Carrick trying to inspire you. Sleepy time. And thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, he is getting pelted at the moment, isn't he, in relation to that lack of passion. But that can change. Look. You can't go to... If we go to Chelsea tonight, boring and pragmatic, and get beat, it's an opportunity tonight. Look, you know what makes me excited about tonight is I've seen a lot of people writing us off. And if you go through United's crap history of the last decade, and it has been crap, the positives are the amount of times we've played City or Liverpool or Arsenal or Chelsea and people have gone, we're definitely going to lose, and we don't. So I think I went with a draw on Premier League predictions, but I feel like these are the games where we can beat anybody. these are not really the games that we tend to struggle in. The games that we struggle in are, you know, playing against 10-man Newcastle or Leeds at home or, you know, Bournemouth at home or Brentford away. They're the games where we expose ourselves. Against the big teams or, you know, the traditional top six, we do tend to do quite well, especially when we get written off. So I think we'll get a performance tonight. I really do. There's a lot of pressure on Chelsea. There's a lot of pressure on Rosinha. Are those players playing for him? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Sorry, I'm just having a quick look there. Yeah, some stuff about Garnacho going on. Yeah, we're not interested in Garnacho. I mean, God, that would be an all-time low. Chris Wheeler in the Daily Mail just saying that Marcus Rashford's future up in the air as Man United and Barcelona prepared to hold talks over England star before the World Cup. United sticking to $26 million deal with Rashford's wages set to go back up to a $315K a week if they qualify for the Champions League. Fucking hell. That is scary, isn't it? I'd forgotten about that. So Rashford's wage when he comes back is $315K a week. I mean, there are people at Man United who should go to prison for crimes to football. I mean, some of the contracts, and I don't blame Ineos for this. I mean, Ineos are desperate to get rid of Casemiro's wage and Rashford's wage. And look, you can take a pop at Ineos, but I've always been like that. I'll be very forthright with my opinions, but I'll also be fair. Ineos have done some good stuff. 315K for Rashford. He can't be wearing a Man United shirt on that wage, can he? Surely. I mean, Ricky'd go mad. He'd be on his case every bloody game. Look, I like Rashford. I think he's done well at Barcelona. He got on my nerves in the last couple of years. I mean, some of the decisions he made, I mean, the Belfast stuff and everything like that, he's got to take responsibility for. I don't think he ever apologised to fans for that. And when you're a brand, I get it. Maybe like if he comes out and apologises, it's a sign of weakness and he has to just like move on. So that's what some people do. They ignore it and they carry on. But I think he's done quite well at Barcelona. And I think he's sorted himself out in Barcelona. I think the only issue with Barcelona, with Rashford, it's got nothing to do with his application, his hunger, his training. Those were the issues. The issues with Rashford at Man United was the, you know, what was going on off the field, like in relation to his effort and everything like that. At Barcelona, nobody's criticised that at all. I think at Barcelona, the reason they might not want him is they might feel that it's not worth it. Financially, they just might feel he's not worth it. But United can't be paying 315 grand a week for a player that's going to be scrutinised massively if he comes back. But also that raises a good point as well, because we've got so much to do this summer in relation to transfers. If Rashford comes back, that takes up a load of time as well. You're stuck with Rashford, whether you're keeping him or trying to get rid of him, and that takes up time. If Barcelona activate that clause, he wants to go, we want him to go, it's done. If they don't activate that clause and they send him back, you then got to go through talks with Rashford on what you're going to do, and that takes up time as well. Anana's wage will go up to 200K as a backup keeper, says Shenanigans. I think that's fake news. He's on 100 grand a week, so it goes up by 25%, so it'll go up to about 125,000. Which is still way too much. And Anana will come back. Anana will come back and then he'll get loaned. On the poll, which I thought was a brilliant question, either or, would you go Carrick in the Champions League next season or Nagelsmann in the Europa League? 72% of you have gone Nagelsmann in the Europa League, which from a head point of view, I completely agree. But I do want to be in the Champions League. We are back tonight, of course, with Countdown to Kickoff, the watch along, the match reaction, player ratings. It's a big game. I know Arsenal City is a massive game tomorrow, but as a United fan base, this game for us is huge. It's huge for Chelsea as well. We avoid defeat, and I think we grab Champions League football. It wouldn't be definite if we draw, but I think if we win, it's done. If we draw, we've got a huge chance. If we lose, you know, call us Arsenal because we're bottling the Champions League. Let's see what happens. £100 million for the Champions League as well. I am doing the Tottenham game at 5:30 on That's Football as well. Yes, I will be there for that as well. Take care, everyone. Great show this morning. Stay safe, and I will speak to you all later. Come on, United.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.